Sex and happiness.
Both enrich our lives, change our lives in ways that make life worth living. Yet it's surprising how few people can honestly say that they enjoy regular and fulfilling sex or describe themselves and their lives as happy. Want you to make me feel like I'm the only girl in the world. Like I'm the only one that you'll ever love. Host Lori Handlers helps you to explore, learn about, and most importantly, have great sex. And in the process, she helps you to experience real intimacy and happiness.
Sex and happiness.
You'll laugh a little, learn a little, and we hope put a smile on your face and a smile in your life. Now here's Lori.
Hi, everyone. This is Lori Handlers, and you're listening to Sex and Happiness, a show about sex and happiness. And this show is geared to make you sexier and happier. And today we're going to be talking about a topic that I think affects everyone. I would be hard-pressed to think for one second that it didn't affect at least every Westerner. I don't know about people who grew up in other cultures, especially in the Far East, but I'm going to talk about Westerners here. And the topic we're going to be speaking about has to do with clearing emotional trauma and shame around sex. And I guess I don't think there's anything more important than clearing out emotional trauma and shame around sex. And, you know, I've done a few shows on this before from different aspects, and today we're going to find out from a whole new expert in a whole new authority about how we might go about that. So if you're listening and you think for any moment that you don't have any emotional trauma, I would beg to differ with you. And if you don't have shame around sex, you are truly blessed. So for everyone else, this show, here we go, because this is something really, really important. My guest today is Micaiah. He's a transformationalist, an energy healer, and a teacher from Tucson, Arizona. He contributes to people achieving lives of ease with their bodies, their money situation, their relationships, their careers, and their emotions. He's been trained in 17 and created 44 different modalities of healing. He uses the tools of rich healing, that's R-I-C-H, rich healing, created by him and his best friend Vandana, along with the tools and energies from other modalities of healing that he has learned, and he creates amazing transformation in people's lives and bodies. So welcome to Sex and Happiness, Micaiah.
Thank you, Lori. I'm so grateful to be here today.
Yeah, I'm really thrilled to have you, and definitely thrilled to be talking again about this subject, because I don't think we can talk about it enough. So when we say sexual trauma, let's just get into it. How would we define sexual trauma, and how might it affect our lives? Just so people who are listening know if they're in this category.
Oh, well, it's really such a broad category. It's a lot bigger than the definitions that we think of. There's the main general definition of, like, sexual abuse, you know, maybe being molested by your parents or by a family member or being raped. But there's also the sexual trauma that's at a much lower level of, like, you know, you being made fun of in school about something related to your sexuality, or you even something as simple as being rejected by somebody when you made a sexual advance towards them. Like, that can be really traumatic, especially for younger kids. And then if we lock that into our bodies and we create judgments and conclusions from all that stuff, it carries on through our entire life until we clear that stuff out.
So what you're saying then, if I understand you correctly, is the most traumatic things, like being molested by a parent or touched incorrectly by an uncle or a priest or like that, those are very obvious, and those would be things that people, unless they completely suppress it in their memory, those are things that people carry with them and they would know. But then there's the other stuff, which is a little bit more covert or a little bit less easy to distinguish, just a rejection or somebody making fun of you in a bathing suit or someone not wanting to dance with you or somebody or a kid who's like ridiculed in school. that kind of stuff also leaves sexual trauma in the body?
Totally. And the thing about it is, if you got rejected at a seventh grade dance by the cutest person in school that you really wanted to dance with, you know, you might have this thing of, like, it's really hard to approach people, even friends, but especially if you want to ask somebody out on a date, it could be, like, traumatic, and some people have panic attacks even over stuff like that.
So, yeah, so you're making it really, really clear, and hopefully it's really clear for the listeners out there. That's what sexual trauma is, and how it can affect us is we could have panic attacks. What else?
Complete isolation at an extreme. It's like, I don't want to see anybody. I don't want to talk to anybody because I might get rejected again, and that hurts, so I'm not going to go there. Or the exact opposite of, like, being overly sexual with everybody and not having any boundaries of, like, what works for you and what doesn't work for you, so you can get the approval that you didn't get at that time when you got rejected in seventh grade. So it can go in a multitude of arenas, or just never allowing yourself to get close to another person.
Mm. All right, great. Thanks for pointing all of that out so that we can distinguish that for ourselves in our own life. Does clearing the trauma around these things, like sexual encounters and sexual abuse, have to be painful? I mean, how does one go about clearing it?
Well, that's a really great question. You know, I've talked to so many people, and growing up, the only thing that I heard to get rid of any kind of trauma or emotional problem is, well, you got to go to psychotherapy for 10, 20, 30 years, and then you'll understand your problems, but you probably won't be over them. So, and I was just like, that doesn't work. There's got to be something easier. And about a year and a half ago, a friend of mine and I downloaded these energies that we call rich healing that make it really easy, so you don't have to relive the trauma. You don't have to relive the pain of what you are trying to clear out, what you'd like to change in your life. So you can just clear out and release all of those heavy energies of emotions that are holding you back, and the thoughts that are saying, you can't do this, you're bad, you deserve this, you're unlovable. We can clear all of that stuff out in an instant.
Really?
Yeah. Can I share with your listeners how we can do that?
Yeah, you can. Before you do that, I just want to ask you a couple more questions about rich healing.
Okay.
And then we'll give them a takeaway so that they actually get to take away something that they can do.
Glorious.
Yeah, so what is rich healing? Like, how did you come upon this? It says that you've created 44 different modalities. So give us an example of, like, what these modalities are that make up your tools of rich healing.
Ah, well, rich healing is a separate modality in and of itself. And
okay.
Inside of rich healing, there's energetic healing body processes that we call that have different functions to allow your body to exist in a different way in this reality, like being very super expansive or effortlessly dissolving sexual trauma or putting you instantly into a theta brainwave so your mind's not doing that whole super chatter thing all the time. So we have a combination of the energy healing tools mixed with the clearings and creations, which I'll be sharing with your listeners shortly. But those are ways to clear out the energy is a limitation and emotions and thoughts that are holding us back and don't feel very good, and also create and manifest what it is that you do desire in this life really quickly, really easily, like in the span of 10 seconds. And then the third facet of rich healing is energetic activations, where we really embody the space of, you could say higher dimensional, but really just all of infinite consciousness, to really raise your vibration so you entrain to that super high level of ease and flow in your life, so everything is fun and blissful and joyful for you. Even the things that are not will go a lot smoother, so you can get back to that state of bliss and joy effortlessly and really quickly.
You know, when you're speaking and you're saying all this, I picture you, because I know you, and you seem to be joyful, effortless, light, easy. You're easy to be around. It doesn't seem like you're efforting in your life. You're very, very creative, and I know you're creating all the time, but you don't seem like somebody who's stressed out from creation. stressed out from working, stressed out from putting your creative energies and your talents towards something, you seem like somebody who just walks around light and joyful and effortless.
Well, I do, you know, and I did have to work really hard to get to that point. And that is kind of how Rich Healing came to be, because my friend Vandana in New York, we were on the phone, and we've been teaching some classes together and some other healing modalities, and we were just getting really intense. We're like, okay, we know that we're getting really great results, but everything should be a lot quicker, a lot faster, a lot easier, and a lot more effective. And boom, instantly we both at the same time got downloaded with these energies. And we were 2,000 miles apart from each other, but the energies came in so we could start creating that effortless change so people didn't have to work as hard as we had to get to the blissful, joyful place we exist in.
Well, that sounds absolutely amazing. I mean, I was going to ask you, how did you get there? And you just told me it just sounds amazing that you would get this and you would be with her on the telephone and all of this would happen for both of you. It's an amazing story. Yeah. So congratulations, really. Congratulations that you can achieve a life of ease in your body and money situations and relationships and emotions that work and that are joyful rather than that are stress you out or that cause you a lot of drama, you know, and boundary issues and stuff. So it's wonderful. I really congratulate you for coming into this knowledge. Now, can you tell us just a little bit about what happened before? Because we'll do the takeaway in the next part of the show.
Okay.
When we really have good time, but maybe for a couple minutes you could tell me a little bit about what you had to work through?
Oh, totally. So for me, connecting with people was always kind of like, I don't know, I'm going to be attacked. Maybe I should hide. Maybe I should just barely show a little bit of who I am so they can't make fun of me. I was made fun of a lot in elementary and junior high school. And that trauma stuck with me for a long time in all of my relationships, whether they be friendships or romantic. And so I've spent a lot of time clearing out the trauma again. The trauma, even just being made fun of for being who I am, like that carried over into my sexual relationships. It's like, okay, well, I can show you this much of me, but everything else in me is wrong and bad and unlovable, and I can't show you that because you'll totally judge me and, like, run screaming out the door.
Oh, my goodness.
So a lot of my healing journey has been healing that stuff. And it's not that stuff still doesn't come up once in a while, but I have the tools now to clear it out so quickly that I'm just like, okay, boom, everything that is, clear it out. And then I can go back to being blissful and joyful, because if I sweep that stuff under the rug, it's just going to be there and keep me held back from connecting with people on the level that I desire, which is like total vulnerability, total transparency. Here I am. If you like me, great. If you don't, that's fine too. You don't have to be a part of my life, but this is me.
Excellent. I'm so glad you got over that. It's so amazing to me because, you know, knowing you, you don't seem like that happened to you at all, but I get it. I get it. You really have healed it. So it's wonderful. Well, we're going to take a short break here. And when we come back, we're going to talk about what people could do like right away. You're going to give them an exercise or something to focus on that will have them start to heal emotional trauma from any kind of being made fun of or any kind of really traumatic experience that happened in their life, be it heavy duty like molestation or lighter like just being poked fun of, which I don't want to minimalize that, by the way, so don't take it that way. Anyone out there, I am not minimalizing being poked fun of. It's just different from when somebody physically molests you. It has similar consequences, but it's a different order. And how to deal with leaving the shame behind. So if you just tuned in, you're listening to Sex and Happiness. I'm Laurie Handlers, your host, and I am interviewing Micaiah, who is a Tucson, Arizona-based energy healer and teacher. He teaches people how to transform their lives from lives of stress to lives of ease. And he transforms their money situations and their relationships and emotions and much, much more. So stay tuned. We'll be right back. My question for people right now is, if you're a woman who could use a little zest and zing in your arousal response, or maybe you know women or a woman who could use this, because many women say that their feelings of desire, arousal, and sexual satisfaction don't happen as naturally or as often as they'd like. So I want to tell you about Zestra, because Zestra was developed to meet this much-needed option for women. Zestra Safe and a patented blend of botanical oils and extracts, and it's created to help women have increased sexual sensations. Zestra comes in convenient single-dose personal packets. Each packet keeps the essential arousal oils and extracts free, fresh, and safe from light. And with application of Zestra, it starts to work within 3 to 5 minutes. And at about 10 minutes, there's something called the Zestra Rush. And that can last up to about 45 minutes. The great news is that Zestra can be used as frequently as you like during each sexual experience. Now, I'm somebody who believes that all women deserve sexual satisfaction. That's why I do this show, in case you hadn't noticed. So I believe that men and women deserve sexual satisfaction. So if you're a woman who isn't getting that kind of arousal response that you want, please call 877-426-8047. That's 877-426-8047. And please remember to say you heard about Zestra from Laurie Handlers on the Sex and Happiness Show. We're back with Sex and Happiness, and I'm Laurie Handlers, and today I'm interviewing Micaiah. And Micaiah is a life transformation specialist. He wants to help you heal your body, your mind, your emotions, your life, actually. So, Micaiah, we're back together, and we were speaking about how people could transform things in an instant as opposed to going to 18 or 20 years of psychotherapy. I'm definitely a fan of healing things transformationally, like in the moment, distinguishing what needs to be let go of and what can be taken in, rather than sitting on a couch for 18 years. So how do we do it? What can we do now? What kind of a demonstration can we put on for people so that they can have a takeaway that really offers them something huge?
Great. Well, I have a couple of great tools to share with everybody here. So in Rich Healing, we have these tools called clearings and creations, and I'm going to start with the clearing tool. The clearing tool is called RICH, and it stands for Release, Integrate, Clear, and Harmonize. So what we do with this tool is we bring up an energy of, like, shame around sex or being made fun of as a kid. And what we do is we release and clear all of the heavy, dense, stuck energies of thoughts, all the thoughts you created from that experience, all the emotions and feelings that you experienced during all of that, all the lies that you bought as real about yourself, all the stories you've been telling yourself, and all the judgments and conclusions you created from that. So we're releasing and clearing all of that from your energetic field and your physical body, which clears it from your emotions and your mind and all of that. And after that's released and cleared, you have all this space. So now the I stands for integrate. So we're really bringing back the parts and pieces of you you've pushed away or denied, so you can choose all those limitations, because you actually are this amazing infinite being that has no limitations. So the only way you can have a limiting thought form or an emotion that's holding you back is to deny a part of yourself. So what we're doing is we're bringing that back, integrating it, along with all the wisdom that you could glean from that situation, whatever it was, or all the situations that we're clearing out here. So we're integrating all that stuff into present time, which ripples out and affects the entire timeline, past, present, and future. It changes your entire life, the entire way you be on this planet. And then the H stands for harmonize. So we're harmonizing all the energetic bodies and the physical body to vibrate at that new higher level instantly and effortlessly. Because in my study of different healing modalities, people are like, okay, you're going to go through this healing, and it's going to be amazing, and you're going to feel really good, but then you're going to get sick for 3 days, and that to detox so your body can catch up to where your energy is now. But then you're going to feel really good. I'm like, why would you want to go get a healing if you're just going to get sick afterwards?
Yeah, they call that the healing crisis, don't they? They say your body's in healing crisis.
Yeah, the healing crisis. So the harmonized function of Rich harmonizes your energetic bodies and physical body to just instantly be at that new higher level, so you don't have to go through a healing crisis with this.
Mm, sounds wonderful. I want this. Who wouldn't want this?
Yeah. So let's do a clearing here and see what we can create. So let's use sexual shame and trauma.
Okay.
So you can do it really simple with just a simple statement like this. So everywhere you've experienced sexual trauma in your life, and everywhere you've locked any and all of that into your body, unlock, clear, and rich. And now just notice how your body feels after that.
So wait a second. Let's go back for a second. So everywhere or anywhere, what if there's more than one? I mean, it's going to take me a few minutes or at least a few seconds to get them all.
Oh, see, that's the beauty of it. You don't have to know. You don't have to figure it out with your logical mind. You just put it out there, and the energy takes care of it. It goes back to the root trauma, whether it be in this lifetime or any other lifetime or in your ancestors' lifetimes that they passed on to you. It clears all of that out, and you don't even have to know where it began.
Oh, all right. So let's go again, because I was going, wait a minute. I have this one and this one and this one.
Yeah. Don't try to figure it out. The beauty of these tools is it bypasses your logical mind, so you don't have to think about it at all. So
okay.
Everywhere, and I'm going to do a complicated one here just to really do it big, and then I'll
okay.
How your listeners can use those. So everywhere you've experienced sexual trauma, rejection, and heartbreak in your life, and all the stress, trauma, and drama you experienced from any and all of that, and everywhere you locked any and all of that into your body, unlock, clear, and rich. And just let that wash over your body and take a deep breath. Does your body feel any different after receiving that, Lori?
Yes, I feel like you made space in my body. Like when I breathe in, there's a flow through my torso that I didn't notice before. Like it feels like air can pass through, go from the bottom, from where I sit to my throat.
And that is the biggest thing we hear from people that receive a rich clearance. It's like, it's easier to breathe now. Great. I like making it easier to breathe for people.
Yeah, and I want everyone to know that you didn't coach me ahead of time to say that. So it's as simple as that?
It's simple, and it's even simpler. It's like, okay, so let's just say you have a fear of going to the supermarket. You can just say, like, everybody can use this tool. Now that you've heard me do it, please use it. Please share it with your friends. Please use it to change your lives, and then email me and tell me how it changes your lives. It's really simple. You could just say, like, everything that makes me afraid of the supermarket, rich. And it'll change. It'll shift for you.
Wow. That is amazing. It's astounding. I'm not afraid to go to the supermarket, but there's other things.
Yeah, well, things come up for me all the time, and I just rich them and move on. Like I said, I don't want to sweep things under the rug and bring them with me. It's like I want to be clear so I can be really present with everyone in every situation I find myself.
That's beautiful. Really, really beautiful. So do you do these kinds of things in workshops? How do people find out about you? How do they get rich?
Well, I do teleclasses 2 to 3 times a week over the phone and Skype.
Mm-hmm.
So people all over the world can join me. I have a website, richhealing.com, where all my classes are listed. I do teach in-person certification classes for people who like to learn the energy healing techniques of rich healing. But these classes are usually topic-based. I do a lot of calls on sex. I also do some metaphysical stuff like higher dimensional activations and connecting with your spirit guides and money and whole gambit of things. So they can find that information on richhealing.com. And also an article and a video of me explaining the Rich tool and some other tools that people can take home and use on that website too.
I think it's incredible that you actually, I don't know, I was going to say stumbled upon this, but I don't think you really stumbled upon it. I think you were setting yourself up to have this come into you by all the work that you did prior to this. And but I just think it's amazing. Is there a charge for this? Like if people go, come on your teleseminars, like what would an average one cost?
Most of my telecalls are $25. But I do free calls once in a while that people can check out on the Rich Healing website. And there's also free MP3s on there, free activations. I have an activation for Love and Joy right there on the front page of the website under free MP3s. So people can also get more of that too.
Thank you for doing this. Now, so it sounds like anyone and everyone would be your possible student or client or receiver, we'll call them, almost anybody that's gone through anything. Do you ever find that there's tougher cases, like people do it, they go through it, and then they call you and they go, okay, dude, the thing didn't leave me. I'm still ashamed. I just went to be with my partner and I wasn't able to let it go. You know, I couldn't take my clothes off. Do you ever have that?
You know, with emotional issues, that has never come up. I've worked with hundreds of clients over the last year and a half, and their emotional issues just go. Most of the time, if I'm working with physical issues, they go too. The only physical issue I haven't really been able to heal is eyesight problems yet. But other than that, it's like, we do everything that we can to clear out whatever is needed to be cleared in a session. And then if there's something else that's there, like, okay, I'm really struggling taking my clothes off in front of this person, they now have the tool. They can be like, okay, everything that makes me afraid to take my clothes off with this person, Rich. Everywhere I'm not feeling safe and everywhere I'm projecting everything from my past relationships and abusive relationships into this current relationship that I'm in, Rich. They have the tools to change whatever's coming up for them in the moment.
It's beautiful. I love it. It's simple, effective. It's terrific. Really terrific. I applaud you. I applaud you. And I thank you for doing this work in the world and for helping people just get free. That's what they need to be, free.
Well, thank you for that acknowledgement. It's just such a great joy of mine because for me, it's like, how amazing would it be if everybody you saw walking down the street was happy and like willing to connect and like look you in the eye and really to just be present with you, even if it's just for a second. And that's really my target with this healing work.
Well, if that happened for me, I would be out of a job. But you know what? That might be worth experiencing. It would be worth experiencing, I believe. So, well, thank you so much, Micaiah. Thank you for being my guest today on Sex and Happiness. I so appreciate your rich healing process, and I am excited to hear about your other modalities in person. You know, the next time I see you, I think it's really exciting and valuable, like really valuable stuff that you're bringing to bear here. So thank you. And everybody, please stay tuned for my next guest coming up.
Trace Burrows talking to us about dating, do's and don'ts.
Are you wondering what book to read to jumpstart your life? Get the best from relationships? Attain the deepest feelings of intimacy? Do you want the best sex along with great happiness? Get your copy of Sex and Happiness, The Tantric Laws of Intimacy by Lori Handlers right now. You'll learn how to make love in the unknown, take the performance anxiety and reaching a goal out of sex. You'll learn subtle ways of communication and really important practices to empower you when dealing with an intimate partner. You'll let go of blame and struggle. Doesn't this sound great? Sex and Happiness puts the innocence back into sex and gives Tantra the respect it deserves. Take charge of your life, physically, emotionally, and spiritually with Sex and Happiness by Lori Handlers, only $19.99 paperback and $14.99 ebook. Order your copy today by going to butterflyworkshops.com. That's butterflyworkshops.com for your copy of Sex and Happiness.
For weeks now, you've been hearing me talk about the Erotic Coast Film Festival and my film Beyond Dinner winning the award for the best short film. And you've been hearing me talk to all these guests that I met while I was there. And you haven't heard that much about the dinner, although in the show I did with Dr. Ava and Nancy Sutton Pierce, we did talk about what was in my film. I want to let you know that the film is about a ritual dinner that I invented called the Gate dinner. Gate means beyond in Sanskrit. And it's a very sensual 8-course dinner that starts with the forbidden, starts with dessert, and leads its way back around to other foods. But all the foods in the dinner are very, very sensual, very beautifully prepared, and the presentation is amazing. And in this dinner, aside from everybody projecting themselves through a meditation that I do to their highest self, having had boundary exercises prior, the men rotate around the table and they feed various goddesses, all the goddesses that are around the table. And even if you come there with a partner, the partner lets go, doesn't take things so personally, lets the partner rotate around and have a sensual experience with each person that's participating. In this case, it would be men having a sensual experience with different women and then working their way back to their original partner. If this piques your curiosity and interest, I want to let you know that these dinners are now available to you wherever you are in the United States. And what you need is 20 people who would like to participate. And you can get in touch with me at sexandhappiness@gmail.com. That's sexandhappiness@gmail.com if you'd like to host a dinner like this in your part of the world. I would love to come to your and offer one of these dinners to you and your friends, and I know my chef would love to come too. Also, Antonio Tiggs, who you've heard on the show as well, would love to come and paint your servers. So your servers are all gold or all silver or what have you. So we have a little entourage that would like to come and make this such a memorable event for you. Please get in touch with me if you'd like to hear more about it and talk about the details. That's sexandhappiness@gmail.com.
Well, we're back, and I'm Laurie Handlers. This is Sex and Happiness, and I hope you enjoyed the last part of the show and found out how you could heal yourself from sexual trauma or anything else easily. He made it so easy. Well, now we're going to talk about what you do when you're looking to date, what you do when you're looking to find the perfect relationship, or maybe not the perfect relationship, but some relationship. My guest is the author of The Ultimate Guide to Dating and Relationship Advice, which can be found at the site seekfindkeep.com. We'll talk more about that. And he has launched the Relationship Solutions Social Network. He's a film and animation producer and entrepreneur, and he's been interviewed by dozens of other programs and also by David Frost. Trace Burrows, welcome to Sex and Happiness.
Thanks for having me.
I'm very interested to hear about your, you know, how you guide people to date. So I think before we talk about some of the other things we could talk about, what does a person need to know before they go looking for a date?
Well, you've got to sort of take a self-evaluation or inventory of yourself and be really honest. Now, a lot of people, if you're really, this sounds going to sound funny or inappropriate. I mean, if you're really...
Go ahead. Try me, go ahead.
You really, you know, mentally disturbed, have thinking disorders, a lot, you know, people aren't, you're not going to know that you have that, you know.
Right.
But if you've gone through relationships where, you know, maybe you know you've been abusive, or maybe you have an insecurity, problem, that you ought to you know, take a look at it closely, and if you need some help in getting out of those issues or solving closure on those issues, go to a psychologist or whatever. But before you go out on a date, you've got to be make sure that you're not going to be throwing stuff out there to your date. That's going to be sort of thinking disorder type stuff. Again, self-esteem issues. You might be codependent. Are you okay? Is everything okay with you? And an overdo on that. Or what do you think? You didn't say anything about my shoes. How do I look? You didn't say I was pretty. These kind of things. Or a guy could have the same issues. So the basic thing is you just got to prepare yourself and also be clear-headed, feel good and confident. So if you're really depressed because of whatever, you haven't been dating, you can't get a date, leave that behind. And when you go out, clear your head. I could go through the whole process of what you could do involved in clearing your head before you go out. So
you have a process you recommend to people, like in your book, Ultimate Guide to Dating and Relationship Advice, you give people a process to clear their head before they even begin?
Well, the book is actually 70 articles by 32 experts. So I compiled the book or edited it. So I didn't write it.
Okay, got it. So somewhere, though, you have a process?
Yeah, there's a process for building instant confidence. If you have no confidence, especially women look the sexiest thing, they say, that women look for in a man, and they've done studies, is confidence. Women like men who are confident. So if you're not confident, it's hard to just say all of a sudden, I'm confident, when a lot of bad things have been happening to you, you don't feel good about yourself.
Right.
So, I kind of thought this out, and I have a process that people can follow that will help them to be more confident before they go out, sort of like instant confidence.
Okay. So wait a second. So you said that women like men who show confidence.
Right. They're attracted to that. So you don't have to be super handsome, but if you exude confidence, it's a real attractor for women.
I thought women like men who have money.
Well, whatever I'm telling you, nothing is totally, everyone's different,
I'm kind of joking with you.
There are women that just want money, and there's women who are turned on by powerful men, and there's women who just turned on by the physical part of it, but I'm kind of generalizing.
Right.
Everyone's different.
But I think you're right about that. And what do men find the most attractive about women?
A woman's smile. Yeah, I know you'll hear a lot of men say other things, body parts, this is my favorite. But really, that is the before they get to that, even though they might see a woman from a distance and go, oh, she's a nice, figure, body. When they get close to them, it's the smile that's going to, engage them. It's the charm and the smile.
Well, thank you. You're showing me something that I have kind of always known about myself. People always tell me about my smile. And I've never been for lack of that kind of interest. And I always wondered, because I never considered myself to be, Gina Lola Brigida or whoever. But my smile has always gotten lots of attention, so I guess that's huge. So that's good. So ladies out there, you better start smiling. And men, you better start acting with confidence. And what Trace is saying is, if you can't just get that about yourself, then you need to seek some therapy or do some sexual trauma healing, like we talked about in the beginning of the show, if you can't get that about yourself. I would like to talk about your process, but I'd like to talk about that in the second part of this.
Sure.
Of this segment. Okay, basically what I'm getting is that you're saying that people have to get themselves sorted out before they go looking again for a relationship or before they go dating. They should get themselves sorted out.
That's right.
I know I interviewed somebody once, actually a very close person to me, who has Asperger's. And he told me until he knew that he had Asperger's, until he was diagnosed, he couldn't figure out why it was inappropriate to ask a woman to marry him on the first date. I thought you'd get a kick out of
that. Yeah, that's a good one. Yeah.
But he didn't get it. He didn't get the social connection. And how much connection it takes over time, it would take before one would want to be asked to marry. And he would feel these glowing feelings, and he would say, wow, could you marry me? Let's talk about online dating, because that seems to be the biggest thing. I mean, most people don't hire matchmakers, and a lot of people don't have time anymore in their busy lives. You know, I thought that our lives were going to be simplified by technical devices, but it seems that our lives are complicated and they take up so much time. You know, so people don't go out anymore looking for people. Although that seems to be the best way, like to meet someone through someone else seems to be absolutely the most wonderful way to meet someone, but that rarely happens anymore. People go to online dating sites. So let's talk about that a little bit. What are some of the things that you know about online dating and do's and don'ts of that? I have had one expert on before about that, but I wasn't happy with that show. So
I'll be happy with my answers.
I just didn't think she gave great advice, because I think it's really important for people. I think it's critical.
First of all, you don't send out form messages. This is probably a man, you know, I don't know if women ever do that, but men might. I did that when I first started. Like when I first got divorced, I sent out 100 messages. They were all the same. I didn't read profiles. I just looked at said pretty pictures, said, oh, that she's pretty. And I did get some response. But now, if I would go do that again, is you really have to read the profile, and it shows that you're interested in what they actually do rather than just because they're pretty. First of all, you know how those photos are. Most of them are like 20 years old, and you know, so you might as well and find something that is that you have something in common in the profile, and address that in your first message if you're going to send a message to somebody. Personalize it to their profile. I could tell you a story where I didn't read it totally. I don't know if I should get into that. It's all too long. We'll just skip that. Let's just get to this thing. So,
Chase, you're funny. You're a funny guy. I can tell.
The photos. Yeah, you got to have a recent photo because, I mean, I don't know how it is when, you know, I mean, do men do the same thing? Because when I look at women's photos, there's so many that, like, when they were, like, you know, 30 and now they're 50, but they're showing me a picture of the 30. One time I got a picture, she was like a teenager and she was like in her 50s. And I said, really? You're that? Wow, what kind of vitamins are you taking? Or, you know, that's amazing. God. And she never answered me back.
So you're saying, okay, so number one is to be authentic in each message. And number two, you're saying, is to have your profile photos updated.
You got to have a good photo. Now, that I had a horrible photo for the longest time, and I'm done photography and whatever. And I finally found a match woman who was a photographer, and I finally did a picture. So also, this is a note about pictures. Do not have pictures, and I only can say from the man's point of view looking at women's pictures, like, I've seen so many pictures with women with older guys. I don't know if it's their dad, their uncle, their old boyfriend, or who it is. Don't take just of you. Don't have a picture of you and a man, no matter who it is. Don't have a picture of you and your favorite dog. Don't have a picture of you holding a little baby. It just should be a picture of you by yourself. And if you can't take a good picture, which most people can't, because I look at a picture, and the first picture is like, wow, she is, you know, stunner. And then you look at the 8 other pictures, and then you look at the, and you sort of zero in on the worst one, and you go, ooh, you know, I'm totally wrong on this. So you know, because they took a bad picture. And sometimes these people in person, because their personalities exude out, you might not be the best looking person in the world, but you have a really great personalities. It can trump your looks. That's how I feel. I have a theory.
Yeah. Well, I think you're so funny because my friends and I talk a lot about online pictures, especially here in Arizona. I have to laugh because the men, they show their truck, they show their four-wheeler, they show their dogs, and they show themselves fishing. And often they don't show a headshot.
Make you wonder why they're not showing you their headshot. Yeah, sometimes they pick them up.
I mean, who cares about their four-wheeler and their truck and their fish? I mean, and they're dogs. So I think it's so funny that you say that. It's just my women friends and I joke about it a lot. We thought about writing a book about it. So it's very funny. So, okay, let's move on to when you go on the first date.
Yeah. Okay, the first date. So on a first date, you want to be a good listener. And sometimes people will engage you. Like I get engaged, you know, like a woman might feel a little insecure about herself, so she'll ask me a lot of questions, and I could talk forever. You know, so the thing is, I have to catch myself. So don't get caught up in that where they're baiting you to talk about yourself, and then you end up not being a good listener. So even if you have tons to say and it could be really interesting stories, you got to stop. I have to stop myself, and I go, yeah, what about you? You know, what are you doing? So that's one thing. You want to be a good listener and let people talk on an equal, give equal time. Everyone should have equal time.
That's great.
And don't be critical. You know, some people think that's funny to be, teasing is one thing to a point, but you got to be careful with that, because I've been through that with my ex-wife where she took teasing too far and sometimes with a straight face. So I don't know if she's being critical or, you know, I couldn't tell the difference. So don't be critical. You know, don't make sort of snide remarks about your date in any way. Be kind and courteous. And for a guy, I would say mostly don't sexualize things. You know, I don't, it comes out with a sexual joke or this. I mean, it depends on your partner. If they've already shown you that, you know, they're like really freewheeling in that area and just don't care about what you talk about, so you go with the flow. But generally speaking, you know, don't start talking about sex or, you know, in any way really, unless it's brought up. The other thing is you want to ask questions. And you want to read between the lines. So that's one way you could find out about a person. You could find out if they talk about themselves, have they been abusive, or are they weird? Gee, if you don't mind me asking, what brought about your divorce? They're divorced. You don't want to be like an interrogator either, you know, like you're in a room with a light bulb over your head, and like, you know, waterboarding you. Yeah, you want to ask questions and be casual about it and try to look if you, you know, read in between the lines and see if you can pick up on some subtle attitudes about your date.
So I have one more question, then we're going to have to go to break. But if you really find out within the first 10, 15 minutes that you're not interested at all in this person, there is no chemistry, should you bring the date to an end right away?
Well, it all depends how weird they are. No. If they say, like, you know, I'm going to put you in the trunk of my car and I want to drive down to the beach.
No, I just mean you're not attracted to someone. Like, sometimes people stay on a date to be nice.
I think you should be. See, that's me. 99%. I might not want to date him again, but we'll have a conversation. And I spent some time. I met someone new and we talked about stuff. If they're really horrible, like they really are, like saying a lot of stuff that's sort of offensive or you just don't like it, yeah, you can say, gee, thanks for the glass of wine. First of all, I used to think I had to order dinner all the time. And a woman from Match says, don't do that. Women mostly just want to have a glass of wine, because that way you can end it quickly. If they don't like the guy, they can say,
exactly.
Yeah, and go.
So that's good. So you've given really good tips so far. Listen, talk. Try to read between the lines. Don't be sarcastic or critical, and even just have a glass of wine. I recommend that people have a cup of tea or a cup of coffee, because if they're having wine, that starts to distort them a little bit. And so I personally think it's better to have tea or coffee, and that's an hour tops. I'm just saying. Anyway, we're going to take a break here. I'm having fun with you, and it's great. I hope our listeners are having fun, too, and a lot of them need to hear this. They're so uptight, and it's really nice for people to be relaxed about this.
Yes.
So you are listening to Sex and Happiness. I'm Laurie Handlers, your host. I am talking to Trace Burrows, who authored a collection of experts talking about the ultimate guide to dating and relationships. And we are talking about things about dating, when you're getting back into the dating market or the dating game, however you like to look at it. And we're going to talk more about it. He's going to give us a process in our next portion. So please stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Many times on Sex and Happiness, you've heard Lori talk about emotional release and how important it is. Well, now you can do emotional release in the privacy of your own home. In Lori's CD, Shamanic Release and Lottie Hahn, she creates a safe and sacred space in which you can do the powerful work Lori is known for in her sacred sexuality courses. Lori sets you up with the proper positioning and breathing. Then she guides you through each emotional state to the beat of tribal African rhythms. This CD provides an easy way to do emotional clearing work on a regular basis. Order your copy of Shamanic Release and Lottie Hahn today and watch your relationships walk free of emotional baggage. to order the Shamanic Release and Lottie Hound CD by Lori Handlers, go to www.butterflyworkshops.com right now.
Wow, sex magic. Lori Handler's sex magic.
The workshop is really, really amazing. And we were able to create and generate this intense energy in a space of safety and love and abundance. And the magic really happens when she is free to let go.
That's pretty
good. In fact, it shouldn't be called sex magic. It should be called sex miracle.
That she's the strongest facilitator that I've had the experience with. And there was not a moment when I didn't feel safe or not supported. She was with us individually and as a group the entire time, so that allowed me to go deeper than I've ever had.
Where my lover got to come and orgasm over and over and over again. She was loud as anything, and she was like a wild animal, untamed and free.
It just will bring you into such deeper places within yourself so that you're able to share with your partner.
Sex magic, I'm still feeling it. It was beautiful.
What an amazing course, if I say so myself. But of course, you've just heard the testimonies. For more information, go to butterflyworkshops.com, click on workshops, and find out more about sex magic. It's magical. So if you'd like to experience sex magic and really, really treat yourself, I invite you to experience the Sex Magic Vacation Retreat in Peru. Here's what you'll want to know. The dates are April 23rd to May 3rd, and the intensive is 7 days, followed by 3 days of touring sacred sites, including Machu Picchu. The cost is $2,200, and if you register now, you'll receive $200 off the registration price for this amazing retreat. Go to butterflyworkshops.com and click on workshops to get more information. Or write me, sexandhappiness@gmail.com for more information.
We're back with Sex and Happiness, and I'm Lori Handlers. I am interviewing Trace Burrows. I'm having a great time with him, too. And we're talking about dating, and we're talking about pitfalls people make on online dating by showing pictures of themselves and their dogs or babies or what have you. And we're keeping it light, and I think one of the messages here is to keep it light, like to keep it lighter than heavier when you're dating, because, listen, you're going to probably go through a lot of meetings and a lot of people until you find your suitable partner. And I'm not even saying mate, because I have no idea how good people are at finding their mates. The marriage and divorce rate, the divorce rate is really high, so I don't know what to call that anymore. But this is good advice. So, Trace, let's talk about what happens when you, like, let's say you like someone.
Mm-hmm.
Should you keep going out with that same someone, or should you try to see some other people and see people in a field of people instead of just one, the same one, the same one, the same one? What do you think about that?
Well, it all depends if they're responsive to you. Let's say after you go out with them, 2 days later, that's another thing, but how long you should wait, I think that's ridiculous. But if you like someone, it shows that you're really interested, but you call them again quickly, and then if they accept and you feel that they like you, I mean, for me personally, I'm not good at juggling women. I don't want to juggle a lot of dates. Some guys do. I know guys that just have like six women going at once. So you keep with that person. And if you think it's vague and they put you, say, well, I'm busy this week, but how about next week? Or they don't say that, I'm just busy, but you like them. Then I would keep on calling other people until you really make a connection with someone where you feel you want to show that you're not a player and you're just out there to meet a lot of different people. So you got to kind of like judge that yourself on reacting.
Sure.
To that.
When I was growing up, the custom at that time was to date a lot of people, to not necessarily go steady until you knew you really liked somebody and that was different from everyone else. And that was very popular until people started to get scared about STDs and STIs when the AIDS scare and herpes scare and things like that happened. Then people started to date one. That's why I asked you that question. I've always felt that if there were five people a person could like and one person stood out from the five, like in a field of five or a field of seven, one person starts to stand out above the rest, higher and higher above the rest, like a sunflower amidst, you know, daffodils or something, then that person should be the person that they select. But to just go one and try to make that into a relationship. Oftentimes people also have sex with someone and the sex was good, so they try to make that into a relationship when they don't really have anything else in common. You know what I'm talking about.
I know what you're talking about.
So I recommend that people keep their options open until some time has passed and they've had different experiences with a person. You know, like if there's someone I like, I also want to go on a day trip with that person. I also want to see what their manners are like in a restaurant. I want to see what their values are like, what their scruples are like, and I might not want to zero in. I'm just saying I'm saying in general, a person might not want to zero in on someone until they've had multiple experiences with them, and they might keep the dating thing going, so that one person shines.
Yeah. If you can do that, and guys do juggle. I know guys, like I said, they're online, and they have all kinds of different women, and sometimes, you know, they're sort of, it's like juggling, you know. I can't handle that only because it's just too much of a thing to think about. I don't want the one woman that I like to think that I'm always trying to make up for all the other guys that are like do stuff that women don't like.
Right.
No, I don't do it. So I feel I don't like juggling. I can't do it personally, but I'm not saying someone else can't do it.
Sure. Let's move. Could we possibly do the process?
Yeah, we can do the process. There's five things. I don't know how much time you have.
I have many questions other that I want to ask you, but I'd like to give people a takeaway that they could get this process, and then I could ask you some other things like relationship minefields and things.
Okay. Well, these five steps are for someone who's not feeling good, really, or your confidence is down, and you just basically, you know, when you meet with your date, people are drawn to people that are happy and have a good like aura about them because they're feeling good. They're not in a negative world. And so we've got these five different things you can do. The first thing is if you feel bad about yourself, I mean, everyone has good qualities. So write a list of your good qualities and write down things that you're grateful for, even though you might be really angry at the world at that moment. Things that you're happy about, write them down, think about it, actually write them down and look at it and study it, read them over, just don't write it down and put the thing away, like look at it and go, yeah, you know, I'm grateful for this, I'm good at this, this is a good quality about me. So that's one way to get started.
That's great.
The other thing is really to kind of meditate. If you don't know how to meditate or you think it's, what's that all about? Basically, it's just like stop thinking, you know. A lot of people have like intrusive thoughts or thinking negative thoughts. So you stop, you think about your breathing in and out, and you just kind of think about that you're part of the miracle of life. I mean, just think about existence. Stop thinking about yourself and think about, you might not know what's going on, what the world and life is all about, but you are part of some strange, amazing miracle that people called life. So start thinking about the wondrousness of existence. The next thing is, if you believe in a higher power or God, acknowledge that, you know, say, hi, higher power, how are you? Thanks for being there. I realize you're there. I haven't talked to you in a while. Put a thought out there. This is like the power of attraction, you know. Put a thought out there of a man saying, you know, you could say as a man, I'm going out tonight to a club. I'd love to meet a nice woman, but don't obsess about it. Just put it out there. You might not find a nice woman, but at least you put the thought out there and don't obsess about it. God is not Santa Claus where you're just going to say, pray, give me a nice woman, and it's just going to happen. But just acknowledge your higher power and feel good that you're doing the best you can in difficult times. So that's number three. The fourth thing is realize you have good qualities that a woman's going to like, that you're a good person and worthy. And if you feel that you're not a good person, then you got to do that inventory thing and realize what's bad about you and try to fix it. But meanwhile, you're walking out the door And your mind's got to be clear, and your mind's got to be open to the universe, new situations. So when you go out, actually think that. Think, my mind is clear. I'm open to new people, new situations. I'm not going to be closed-minded. And your thoughts are like rays of the sun, like reaching out into the community of consciousness. And so, like, just think open. Your mind's open. Think, be positive. Stand up straight. Realize, and this is, I truly believe this, that whoever you are, the man, think there is a woman out there for you. There could be more than one. There could be many. But there is a woman out there for you. And if you put that thought out there, that woman is looking for a guy like you, you just might come together. It might not be that night. It might be 2 weeks later. It might be a month later. But believe that that's true. And I believe that that's completely true. And that's basically it. I went through the five different, relax, like you said, have fun, you know, take a deep breath, go out, you know, clear your mind, and then do all the other things that we talked about, like you do on a first date, you know, don't criticize and be a good listener and all that other stuff.
That's great. Thank you so much for that. That was good stuff, really good stuff. That was a great takeaway. So what are some minefields that people should avoid?
In a relationship?
Yeah, or even in just starting. I mean, you gave some that people should avoid when they're going on a date. What should people avoid in when they found someone?
Well, there's some of these things are obvious, but like, you don't want someone who is abusive with language or physically abusive. Mm-hmm. You don't want someone that you feel drinks too much and it might be an alcoholic and
okay.
Can't handle, you know, you see how much they drink, and if they, some people can have one drink and lose their minds. So you got to see how they they handle their, if you're drinking with them, that they
uh-huh.
they handle that. It all depends what you want in a partner. If they start talking about all the different relationships they had, you might want to ask, well, what happened? Why did you have so many? And it's kind of like we said before about reading in between the lines. You want to meet in a public place, which is obvious. I've known some women who like communicated with a guy online messaging for months, and then the guy said, let's go out to dinner, I'll pick you up. And basically, you know, he tried to rape her, but she thought he was like a guy. He sounded like a good sense of humor and all this. So whoever it is, no matter how many times you've messaged them and it feels really good, you should meet them in a public, like in a restaurant or public place for the first date.
Right on. Very good. It's very good. Very good. That's critical.
Yeah, it's critical. It's very critical. Because there's some weirdos, especially guys, that I think can be very predatory. And this world seems like it's gotten worse and worse through the decades. So, you watch out. See if he's, like, again, abusive. That happens to men a lot. That's sort of like an underexposed thing. Men are verbally abused by women a whole lot, and it's not put out there. Women usually talk about being abused by men verbally in this, but women can be very abusive verbally. And so,
That's good. That's good stuff. Thank you. So what would you consider to be a mind-blowing Valentine's gift, even though we're just past Valentine's Day? Sometimes people are still looking for that perfect gift. What would you consider that to be?
Well, the stuff that you do on Valentine's Day, you know, always there's always something, you know, the heart-shaped or, you know, romantic. You can do that, and it's actually more impressive to do it when it's not Valentine's Day, to give a gift or do these things. So one of the things is, like if a guy did this, or a woman who doesn't cook, and make a heart-shaped cake. Buy some pound cake, a big sheet of it in the grocery store, and then cut a heart shape out of it with a knife. It looked real easy. And just buy some like, frost and cover it with it, and maybe you can even scribble a little note on top of it and just, you know, like, I love you, or you're, and just give that. And you won't be impressing them in different ways. You went out and made the effort. The thing is to spend time and not buy some stock thing that you just found or a card or a gift. You actually spent time to make something, no matter what it is. And that's sort of like some of the other things here. Even if you're not into poetry, you could write a poem. Mm-hmm. And if you don't know anything at all, go online and Google it and see what other poems look like and see how get a feel for it. And so write a poem. It doesn't matter if it's a good poetry. It has write your feelings about your partner and make them short lines. Maybe have a common theme or word phrase within the lines. And just express your feelings. That's a poem. You know, a poem can be most anything. Another mm-hmm. thing is you can write a song. Even if your voice socks is, you know, sometimes the amateur's quality is more charming. So you write a song. If you don't have backup music, just sing it. You could pick your favorite tune from some other song and just make up words, write them down, record it with your smartphone or whatever, and then send it as an email or play it right in person for your partner. Say, I've written a song for you. If you're real adventurous and you know how to handle iTunes, you can always get a karaoke instrumental track of that song and then sing over that. And if you get some free recording software online, you could actually make a song with music to it. Right. The other thing is, which is very cool, is if you're in a city, let's say, or you're in a cold climate, go on a picnic, but go on an indoor picnic. Let's say it's not the summer, it's the winter, or like you're in an apartment in the city. Go have it in your living room or bedroom or wherever, and have the cloth and the basket and a bottle of wine or, you know, some snacks. And you say, we're going to have a picnic. And, you know, they'll say, where? And say, right here in the living room. And just spread out that cloth. And you could even, like, put a note. Oh, there's something in that basket. Go, you know, reach down. There's a little note. There's something I want to look at. And then have some little sweet, like, note in there. So a picnic is always great. If it's summery, that's great to.
Well, you know something, Trace, you are a very fun and a very romantic guy.
Thank you.
Yeah, and I don't think you grow on trees. So I don't know, are you looking now? Are you still in the market?
Yes.
Well, that's great. So I'm telling everyone out there who's listening to this show.
Thank you. And they can contact me through Seek, Find, Keep. There's an email contact there.
Listen, everyone, this is a wonderful man. I have no idea what he looks like, but I do know that he has a really good heart because I've just interviewed him and you've just listened to the interview. So I know that he has a really good heart and a really good spirit. So if you're out there and you're looking and you're somewhere on the East Coast,
hopefully
in the New York
State, New York City area. Yeah.
Yeah. If you're somewhere in the New York City area, yeah. New York, Connecticut, New Jersey area, you should contact this man. What is your website? Your website is seekfindkeep.com. That's the main one that you want people to contact you on?
That's correct.
And that's where they can get the book, The Ultimate Guide to Dating and Relationships?
Right. If they want to join the free Relationship Solutions social network, it's just new, so don't be put off that there's just a few people there. It just opened, and I'm trying to get experts and people who have problems and have them come together so they can get answers about they're dating.
Well, I plan to join, so I want everyone to know that. And I am thrilled that you've been my guest today. I really want to thank you.
Thank you.
You're so authentic and open, and that's like a great thing. So I really, really thank you for being my guest today on Sex and Happiness.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
Yeah, so everybody tune in next time when my guest will be
Coach Betty Louise talking about healing with pleasure.
This is Laurie Handler signing off for Sex and Happiness.
Thank you for joining us today for Sex and Happiness. To learn more about Laurie and her work, please go to butterflyworkshops.com or follow her on Twitter or Facebook. You can send her an email at sexandhappiness@gmail.com. And if you'd like to listen to podcasts of Laurie's previous show, Tantra Cafe, please go to tantracafe.com. We'll see you again right here next week for another edition of Sex and Happiness. Want you to-